Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 12 of Spy Family Season 2. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. And I guess, you know, just to remind everybody, I guess we have to recap everything that's happened so far, you know, the Cold War and all that, the characters. I feel like it might be a bit redundant for the final episode, but I mean, I get the feeling that this is probably something to sort of pad runtime and save on budget. I guess it wouldn't be surprising, really. I mean, at this point, you know, like, the big story arc, the stuff on the boat, like, that's done. They've just been adapting sort of one-off chapters and side stories since then. You know, I don't think this episode's going to be any different in that regard. Now, if I recall the preview from the previous episode, this is going to be a Bond-focused episode, and if it's the chapter I think it is, you know, I rather liked that one. So I guess that's kind of a good thing. So here we have it. You know, it seems like it's just a quiet sort of day. You know, nothing important going on. But here we go. You know, I guess you couldn't expect Anya to take care of the dog all on her own, even though it's her dog, ostensibly. Although it's interesting that Anya doesn't want to go on a walk, you know. Okay, so she's doing origami. That's, you know, that's difficult. I'm not very artistic, can't really fold things all that well. I guess, you know, it's good that she's focused on something, but, you know, something other than Spy Wars. But I guess this is the main conflict right here. It's just Lloyd and the dog, and you know, this creates an interesting dynamic, because only Anya's aware of Bond's true nature, you know, his ability to see the future and all that. So I'd imagine, you know, if he knows what's going to happen and tries to intervene but can't communicate things very well, that's a recipe for disaster. Speaking of disaster, you know, I find it interesting that Lloyd has enlisted Frankie to be essentially the chew toy. You know, I understand that Frankie's, I don't even know what you'd call him, like an informant, a sidekick, but, I feel like some days the poor guy deserves just a little bit more. And I guess there's also the issue that Bond isn't exactly like a scary attack dog or anything. You know, it's not like, it's not like any given dog is incapable of doing those things, but, You know, we don't exactly know what the deal is with Bond, what the exact extents are of his genetic modifications. You know, he's probably more intelligent than your average dog, too. I mean, I guess, you know, we can sort of intuit that Bond is, especially intelligent. I mean, like, the poor guy looks down about this whole thing. I guess it's kind of nice that, Frankie's being the voice of reason here, even if he doesn't know exactly what the issue is. I mean, for Bond, this is probably harsh. Like, what, you can't even properly be an attack dog? I mean, I'd imagine that, you know, if you have some degree of sapience training like that, you know, it would kind of like go against your better nature, I guess. For want of a better term, really. But, you know, Frankie's got the right idea. You know, he's a dog. Take him on a walk. Do something dogs like. Now, I'm wondering what exactly Anya's trying to fold here. So I guess they're stars, but I was wondering if maybe... I just assumed they were stars and they were supposed to be, like a crane or something. I mean, I guess, you know, she's considering her goal of obtaining Stella stars. That's something, but folding paper stars isn't really going to help, I don't imagine. Alright, so here we go. Here is the horrible future that will inevitably unfold. You know, a poor kid drops his ice cream. Yeah, you know, the poor guy, like, I don't think he necessarily deserves to be saddled with a nickname over something like that. However, the problem here is that Bond can't properly communicate what's about to happen and how he intends to prevent it. And it's almost sad that Bond's like, okay, I need to show that I'm capable of doing good stuff here. You know, unfortunately, that doesn't exactly come across. You know, it does make you wonder how exactly Bond's precognition works, seeing as how he really just sort of, created the poor circumstance he was trying to avoid. Of course, you know, he didn't see further into the future to see that the outcome would eventually work itself out, but, I mean, I guess Bond and Anya, they did avert that whole bomb plot, and that worked out for the best. Alright, so now the stakes are higher. Like, some old guy gets hit by a bike, and while a bike isn't, that bad, in the sense that it's better than being hit by a car. You know, old folks are known to be kind of fragile, and that guy's walking with a cane. So naturally, I think we can predict how this is going to go. Bond, in his efforts to protect the man, you know, it seems as though things are working out, but I feel like, you know, that's not going to be the case. So I guess, even though Bond did essentially save the guy from being hit by the bike, you know, Lloyd doesn't recognize his good deed, and I guess it's understandable, but, you know, at least he sort of smells a rat here. He says, you know, this is unusual behavior, there's gotta be something else going on here, you know. Bond is well-trained, generally speaking, he wouldn't just, you know, do stuff wantonly. And I guess it's kind of unfortunate that Bond's learning the wrong lesson here, that, you know, maybe you shouldn't do good things just because you see the future. Now that said, you know, this is sort of like, I guess the good lesson to reinforce everything. you know, there's a real emergency going on. There's a building that's burning, and from the sounds of things, it looks like there are people trapped inside. So I guess this is the real big conflict, you know. He's learned the lesson that he can't just sort of intervene, but at the same time, you know, this is actually really serious. Now, I'm not exactly an expert on burning buildings or anything like that. I've learned a little bit, you know, just from safety training, industrial training, stuff like that. But, like, generally speaking, you know, it's not good to go inside burning buildings. I don't think that's particularly controversial. But the big issue, aside from smoke inhalation, is that the air is really hot in there, and you can burn your lungs, and that's, I can only imagine that that's insanely and unendingly painful. I mean, here we go, you know, Lloyd, sure, he's warding off the smoke by covering his mouth and nose, but you want to stay low, because that's where the air is clearest and where the air is also coolest, relatively speaking. Additionally, you know, I think a burning building would be especially dangerous for Bond, seeing as how, you know, he knows he's kind of fluffy. In other words, basically like perfect kindling. But at the very least, Lloyd has finally caught on that, you know, Bond, he's got the right idea here. There was a puppy in the building. Now, the poor little critter probably wouldn't have made it were it not for his intervention. But, you know, this is the other problem of going into burning buildings. If, like, the structural columns and members of the building are flammable and they catch fire, you know, that weakens their structural integrity, they start to fall and stuff, you have floors and ceilings collapsing. That makes egress especially difficult. You know, it's one thing if you're a firefighter and you have a ladder, you know, that's a rather adaptable means of egress, but, you know, in absence of a ladder, like, there's not much you can do other than, hope, I guess. So I'm not sure about the advisability of Lloyd's plan here, if you can really just sort of do that. But, more to the point, I don't know how much it's really going to help them, seeing as how the building's starting to fall down around their ears. I mean, I guess Lloyd being a spy and master infiltrator, you know, perhaps he could use some of that to his advantage, but, I mean, I guess case in point, he's probably more used to jumping out of high-story windows than the average person is. Alright, so I guess that's all's well that ends well for the most part. I mean, sure, Bond's smoldering a little bit, but, you know, it's not the horrible outcome that could have happened. I mean, I guess this really demonstrates just how utterly flammable he was if he was that fluffy normally and looks so skinny now. Oh dear. You know, Lloyd's really losing it in this sort of, family dynamic. It's making him soft, you know, he's laughing. Now, I guess the real question is, what's Bond up to now, you know? We're not aware of what future outcome he's seen, but, given this shady individual who has, the word fire emblazoned on his hat, I can only imagine that he's some sort of arsonist or other despicable character. So now, you know, this is Bond's opportunity to put everything he learned into practice, you know. you know, latch onto the guy, bite him, hold him steady until, you know, the proper authorities arrive. I mean, I guess it helps that Bond has the precognition necessary to sort of make sure he drops incriminating evidence out of his bag. And I guess he's also lucky that Lloyd was able to incapacitate him as well. So, you know, we're sort of learning things rather than being shown them. You know, they're telling us that, hey, this accelerant was used in other arson cases, so this guy must be an arsonist. I mean, it's a little weak. You know, it wasn't set up beforehand. You know, maybe Lloyd could have read something about an arson case in a newspaper or something earlier in the episode, but it's probably a little too nitpicky, if I'm being honest, you know? We got the real payoff here of Bond actually saving the day through his precognition, applying all the lessons he's learned, and, you know, earning some respect from Lloyd into the bargain, whereas earlier on, you know, Lloyd had some questions about what exactly was the deal with Bond. Although I guess, you know, there's one more lesson. Bond has to learn that sometimes the best reward for doing a good deed is the knowledge that you've done a good deed. And, you know, I guess that's another important thing to consider. Anya wasn't here, and if something had happened to Bond, she would no doubt be horribly distraught. And, not to put too fine a point on it, but that would disrupt Operation Strix, too. I guess it's nice that Lloyd understands that, you know, hey, Bond is a pet first and foremost, and, you know, if he had some other skills here and there, that would definitely be a boon, but you know, that's not his primary task, as it were. So, you know, he's talking about this in all sorts of, I guess, mission-related terms, but I think the truth here is that he's just fond of the dog now, which, you know, that presents its own issues. You know, maybe Lloyd's getting a little bit soft here and there, but can you really blame the guy? So back to that origami plot, you know, it's unfortunate that neither Yor nor Anya really have any sort of talented origami, you know. We're led to believe that that was a penguin, but, yeah, you know, I guess it's rather telling that Yor's far more skilled with scissors, at least nominally, you know. Bladed things are more her area of expertise. You know, I would have felt that Lloyd would have found it prudent to maybe try and dry Bond off before bringing him home. Although I guess it's more in his wheelhouse to construct a plausible lie. So no doubt, you're going to be left in the dark about what actually happened, but I get the feeling that Anya's going to realize the truth in pretty short order and, you know, maybe not reward him suitably, you know, but give him something to show her appreciation. And I'd imagine for Bond that that's really all the reward he needs, you know. Sure, he was considering maybe getting, a year's worth of meat and a glowing review from the local press, but, little origami Celestar is not bad at all. I think it's also curious that Anya's sort of, lying a little bit. You know, that's not the real reason she gave them the stars, but it's, you know, it's plausible in its own right. So I guess we're getting a little montage now. And I guess, it's nice. We haven't seen much of Damien and his friends lately. I guess that's the one thing I've kind of, disliked about this season, if I had to word it so strongly. It's the lack of the school dynamic, which, you know, I guess it's a given considering the whole bit on the boat, but I don't know. Like, Spy Family, it's interesting because there are essentially, like, three dynamics it sort of slots into. Lloyd and his spy stuff, Anya and her school life, and Yor and her assassin work, but, you know, the three don't tend to mix, or at the very least, Yor tends to mix in less so than the others. And so while the focus on Yor is nice, it comes at the expense of the other two to a degree. Man, even in a montage, Frankie can't catch a break, the poor guy. I mean, I guess that's what he gets for not using proper safety gear while cutting stuff, but, man. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.